everybody, and welcome to Pokesports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with two Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. I also play with two Pokemon on the field.
Huzzah. Eventually, that'll stop, like, feeling weird for the both of us to say, and we'll just be like, I'm Mike, I play with two Pokemon on the field. I'm Kevin, I play with two Pokemon on the field.
It came to a point where I was just like, oh yeah, I had to come up with something witty. Because I forgot that you stole my line.
I did. Oh, it was so fun the first time I did that. And you were like, oh no. Oh, what do I even do? Anyway, hi everybody. If you're joining us right now on YouTube Live on Sunday, January 10th at 9 o'clock p.m., you're just in time to watch some Pokesports. This is, of course, episode 62, otherwise known as the Poliwrath episode. Poliwrath, of course, number 62 in the Pokedex. Eventually, people will just understand that that's just the thing that we do. We go along with the numbers. I feel like I need to explain it, though.
We only decided to do it, like, you know, 60 episodes in. Yeah, you know. It only took us a year.
We change it up. We change things up. We have fun. We do what we can. Exactly. This is the second episode of 2021. I had thought about this before. I was thinking about this earlier today, but with everything that went on in 2020, I was tempted to be like, oh, you know what? If 2020 was a Pokemon, maybe I'll like put this out as a tweet or something, and see all of the one Pokemon that people would post. If 2020 was a Pokemon, what Pokemon would it be? I'm going to ask you that, Kevin, first.
Dunsparce.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Everybody was thinking Garbodor, right?
I wanted to say Garbodor because it's trash, but I need something worse than trash.
Yes.
It has Dunsparce.
Yeah.
Because at least you can use a Garbodor and do something with it. You can even Dynamax it nowadays.
Gigantamax it.
Yeah, like... But, you know,
one might say that 2020 was a big Gigantamaxed Garbodor. But I like your answer. Dunsparce. And I'm going to post that. I'm going to ask that to the chat as well. If 2020 was a Pokemon, what Pokemon would 2020 have been? For my answer, you ask, that would be. What's like the nastiest, like, poison Pokemon that there could possibly be?
Muk.
Oh yeah. Oh, 2020 was definitely Muk. Absolutely. Right out of the sewer. Right out of the
sewer.
All
right, so what do you hope 2021 will be, Mike?
I'm glad you asked. Victini. I want 2021 to be a big old Victini, people.
What's Victini based off of?
Victory.
A sentient firecracker?
No, it's based off of Victory. They were like, how do we characterize Victory? And they made Victini. That was
we
it.
Need Victory, but smaller.
Yeah.
Victini?
Its hand literally is like, yeah, that's a V. V for Victory. V for Victini. V for Victory Bell. Oh, that's another one. That's a perfect one. Victory Bell. 2021, the year of Victory Bell. It's not.
Have you seen a Victory Bell?
It's not that great because the last year was a Muk, but. It's better than last year. Maybe not when they fight. I don't know, though.
The only thing I think of when you say Victory Bell is just the scream.
I see.
The Victory Bell scream.
Yeah. Lupus Rex comes in saying it's National Bittersweet Chocolate. Cut your energy costs. Oyster Rockefeller. Oysters Rockefeller? Is that a thing? Save the Eagles and Sunday Supper Day? Or is that? Oh, Sunday Supper. Yeah, okay. Sunday Supper Day.
Look at Lupus coming in. Even when we stop looking. He looked for us.
Yeah. Lupus is our resident national day person at this point. Victini Tiny Victory. Yeah, 2020 was ditto because anything horrible you could think of happened. Okay.
Just imagine Garbodor, but with a ditto face. That's what 2020.
I do like that.
I hope 2021 will be comfy.
Yeah. Aw.
I want nothing to happen. Can nothing happen for a whole year?
Yeah.
Can I close my eyes and have 365 days pass and me not notice 365 days pass? That's like what I would like.
Nothing happens like a neutral cast form. Like
can't
a
we all be
using
friends?
Splash.
Yeah, can we just
helping hand
just celebrate? We'll click the celebrate button together. We'll celebrate and smash and splash. What? Smash, splash, splash.
Celebrate and smash. We'll splash together. That's a new Super Smash Brothers advertisement. Before it was settle it and smash, but that didn't work. So now it's time to celebrate and smash.
Celebrate and smash.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into some news today. In some Smogon news. Oh yeah, that's Poliwrath. In some Smogon news, geez, well, I've just been not following along with the slides today. Look at these guys. It's Urshifu. The Urshifu are in the news today.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Through an overwhelming majority, Urshifu has been voted to leave OU for Ubers. Urshifu is just too good. We know this.
It's a problem.
It is.
And the thing is, now that it's gone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Pokemon that become problems.
Right?
Because Urshifu was checking a lot of them.
Yes, exactly. Like, if I go to Pikalytics right now, and I go over to the overused section, Urshifu right now sits at about 30%, just a little over 30%. Things that checked the Urshifu involved the Magearna, involved the Clefable. However, the thing that was above Urshifu in usage was Landorus-Therian. Landorus-Therian sits at 40.52%. Urshifu, you were allowed to bring the water one. Rapid Strikes easily checked that. So Landorus is just like, no, I don't have to worry about that one anymore. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
and
now
like
maybe.
Spectre too, right?
Yeah. Oh, Spectre. Absolutely Spectre.
Yikes.
I mean, mind you, right now, Spectre only sits at about 15%, just under, but it's definitely going to go up there. Hopefully now, though, this could mean that we're going to see a little bit more psychic presence in the game, because I don't know about you, but even in VGC, we're not seeing all that much in terms of psychic. It's
oh,
just
no.
not really
the top psychic used Mon is, I'm pretty sure, Metagross, and it doesn't even carry a psychic move.
Yeah,
I had a battle today. I had a battle today where I had a Rotom Wash, and I was against a Metagross that plus two and Dynamax. I was like, wait, I'm fine, because he only has Ice Punch, High Horsepower, and Iron Head.
Yep,
I can't get touched by any of those moves. I'm good.
That is like the Metagross set, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like they don't even bother with Zen Headbutt anymore just because Psychic's so bad.
Yeah.
Or it's just in a bad spot, which is so weird because like Series 5, Expanding Force everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because like Zen Headbutt right now is the sixth most used attack on Metagross. And that's just because your coverage apart from that is just so good. Ice Punch, you don't really, if you don't have Ice Punch on your team, or you don't have like a Glacier, then you have almost zero ice presence in the game right now. It's just not a thing that people bring.
Yeah, it's just not a good spot right now. And I gotta say, it's definitely in VGC, it's definitely because of Urshifu.
Yeah.
Number one usage in VGC, or like top five. I don't remember the exact number, but it's up there.
Right. Right, exactly. All right.
So what's National Dex doing to Spectre?
Well, listen, so Spectre, right now Spectre is being suspect tested. We don't even have a thing for that. National Dex is currently suspect testing Spectre. Voting will run until January 18th. So
that's a weird thing.
That's good, because right now Spectre is going to see more play. So probably, well, no, actually this is a National Dex. So with Cinderace gone, I should say, Spectre is just like already running rampant, so it's just going to continue running rampant until next week, next Monday, and I'm so sure that it's going to be taken out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it goes back to the same thing. Like, Urshifu has left National Dex, I think, a couple months back, or like a month back.
Yep.
So, like, now that you remove Urshifu, like, what can deal with Spectre at this point? You can't even bring in a Bisharp, because Bisharp would just get max quaked, or like, you know, mudshotted.
Right.
Or burnt. There's like just so many things that Spectre can do. And that's, I think that's what gives it a little bit of it. I don't want to say it has like an edge over Glacier, but you see a Glacier, you know what it's doing. You see a Spectre, you have no idea what it's doing. It could have Taunt, it could have Willow, it could be a support, it could be an offense, it could Dynamax with the Helping Hand side mon and Oko, every single mon you have on your side of the field.
I'm super curious, actually.
It's a toss-up.
I'm looking at the Spectre set right now. Spectre is run Disable. That's pretty nasty too.
Different?
Yeah. They also, oh, I get it. I see. Kevin, they can run Ghostium Z. There it is.
Oh, there they got is. Z moves in that?
Yeah, National Dex.
Oh, and then you get the Grim. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh no.
So that's a free plus one and a KO'd Pokemon right there, basically.
Wait, that's not okay.
No, it's not.
Wait, why do people play that meta? You guys aren't tired of Z crystals and megas?
Move on, people. Move on.
Guys, they were deleted for a reason.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, that's how that goes. And then you bring a mega alongside that. And it's just like, okay, well, there goes the neighborhood. We're crotchety old men. Like, I remember what it used to be. But we're like the opposite of that. I remember what it used to be and I hated it. Move on, people. Okay. So yeah, there's that. Look at that. We've got the Players Cup coming up. Players Cup 3. We're going to talk about it every day until it actually comes out. That's going to be this weekend, folks. Players Cup 3 is coming up fast. This I have for this put out a poll for on YouTube just about half an hour before this podcast, and I asked people, with Players Cup 3 coming up, how many times would you like to see PokeSports stream this week? And I asked once, twice, or every day, baby. And people voted in an overwhelming majority, 63% at the time of taking that number, for every day, baby. So we're going to be streaming every single day until the Players Cup is done, which I believe is Saturday.
It's stream week, baby.
It's stream week, baby.
We had balloon week. We had rock week. Now we're on stream week. We got themes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that is going to
that's
be
tomorrow.
Yeah, whoa. That's right. Tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Except if you're listening to this on podcast providers, in which case you'll have missed my section, because that those 3 days I will be streaming from, I believe, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard to approximately 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. Just going to be doing a little bit of practice, a little bit of laddering. I feel like I need the most practice before the Players Cup. So I'm going to be spending most of my time laddering and figuring out what the meta looks like so that I can be, you know, going in with a ready face.
Ready face.
And then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's going to be Kevin. He's going to be actually streaming the Players Cup itself. So
yeah,
we'll be able to see that. And I'll just keep you updated as we go. I'll be sitting in the stream doing my matches as well. And then Kevin and I will match up and we'll be like, oh no, one of us will make it and the other one will not. It'll be
we're both going to be spots 257 and 258.
Yeah.
One because will make of it our to top 256 at the last minute.
Oh no. Because of the PokeSports infighting, we're going to be like just knocking each other out of the tiers every time.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Kevin, you're the reigning qualifier in PokeSports. You're the one who always makes it between the two of us.
I'm also the only one that's been knocked out every single time.
That's true. Hey, you know what? I've never been knocked out of the Players Cup.
That's true.
So that just isn't a thing that happens for me. I guess I'm amazing.
Clearly.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was the question? I feel like you had a question for me.
I didn't have a question for you. I wanted to know though, what kind of, now that it's been like closer to, it's been another week. We've had another week of practice, and I believe that the two of us have at least some semblance of our Players Cup 3 teams put together. What kind of teams are you expecting coming up to the Players Cup?
We mentioned this a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm. Do you still Glacier. Believe that?
Oh yeah, Glacier everywhere. Glacier will be a threat. I learned today that a Solvested Glacier can take a Volcalith from a +2 Colossal and Oko with a quake. So, I mean, yeah, Glacier is going to be a big one.
You are spending your entire Players' Cup prep just calking Colossal. You're just making sure you can take down Colossal.
I mean, if you don't have a counter to Colossal by now, what are you doing, guys? Don't let it win three times in a row.
You may not win the Players' Cup, but you are certainly the number one gatekeeper, the number one Colossal gatekeeper.
I will not lose to Colossal, and I promise that. I have literally every way I need to deal with Colossal on my team.
All six of your Pokemon are Colossal counters.
I have at least two Colossal counters.
Very
I have one
nice.
For Dragapult leads and one for priority leads.
Wow.
Which all I really need. Don't talk to me about Regigigas, though. I don't want to tell you about that Pokemon.
Oh, fair. Yeah, the Regigigas and Weezing.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem for
it's,
me. But
it's
hey.
Such a... man, like, this game's so complicated. It's like, the second you counter one set or, like, one group of Pokemon, there's another group of Pokemon that's, like, super popular that can come in and wipe you down. So you, like, change one Pokemon on your team, and then your whole team's out of whack.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The thing with, like, Regigigas, it's like, it's a gimmick, but it's a consistently functioning gimmick. It does very well. But, yeah, I don't know. That just Dynamax and this new cool ability called Neutralizing Gas.
Antonio Amador solved the problem, said, just burn it.
Oh, just burn it. Yeah, well, that would make sense if you were in a mindless meat brain, like, hyper-offensive player like me. What's a status move?
I'm not even playing right now, and I've already attacked into it. So, like, what does that say?
Weakness policy? No problem. Hit it.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, Jonathan actually says something really cool there. Make sure to register, folks. Even if you're on the fence, you'll at least have the choice to participate if you sign up. And he just signed up.
Register.
Very nice.
If it's Wednesday and you're listening to this on podcast providers, you still have time. Go register.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but going back to like what I think we're gonna see. We're gonna see Finny. Shocker. We're gonna see Urshi. Shocker. Grimmsnarl. That's kind of like the title of this episode, but Grimmsnarl has been seeing a tremendous rise in usage because of its supportive abilities. It is currently sitting at 20% usage on Babiri, which is the top 100 teams on Showdown. It is now above Glacier, above Kartana, and above Metagross in usage.
Looking at it on Babiri is the most interesting thing for me. Because if you go on to Babiri right now, you look at Grimmsnarl. That's just straight up stocks right there. Like, you look at October 24th, which is where the range started, and it's like down at 2%. And then you go up to like November 18th, it's gone up to 7%. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Whoop, you look over at December 7th, 16%. You look over at December 22nd. Oh, Merry Christmas, 19%. You look over at January 2nd. Happy New Year, 22%. And now it's sitting so at crazy. Like 20 to 24%.
We started Crown Tundra with Grimmsnarl at a 1% usage.
Yeah.
and now
no
we're
one wanted
like,
to use it. They left that in the base 20. Game.
Jeez. And it's so weird because that's coming out of a metagame that deleted the top 10 Pokemon, of which Grimmsnarl should have been better in technically because you got rid of a lot of threats.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you got rid of like a key fairy type, so you wouldn't even feel bad by having another fairy on your team.
No, I don't know.
It's the problem with Grimmsnarl.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Schrodinger's Grimmsnarl, exactly. problem with Grimmsnarl, it does too much.
Yeah.
You want screens? You got screens. You want speed control? You got T-Wave. You want to fake out Mon? Here you go.
And
you
I mean, if you want
offense,
you can
got
pull
it
offense.
Too.
Why not? Yeah.
People don't realize this, but Grimmsnarl hits like a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they decide to give this Mon? Base 120 attack. It has almost the same attack as a Rillaboom.
Bro.
Like, what is this?
It has some thick attack right there. You can put it in a Trick Room team pretty reliably, 60 speed. If you toss it with Tailwind, it's like suddenly outspeeding most of the other team.
The thing with Grimmsnarl too is like, it's like the best. It's like the perfect best of one mod, which is probably why the usage is rising, because the qualifiers are played in best of ones. A lot of the people that I've been coaching this week, I've been like tossing out ideas for their Players Cup teams. I'm like, you guys need a solid team with best of one cheese. If you can stick an ally switch somewhere, you should stick it. If you can do a trick inject button, you should do it, because that is best of one cheese that will get you victories because no one expects it. Yeah. Things like Grimmsnarl with weakness policy and pickpocket is like one of my favorite cheeses, because what you could do is you could bullet punch the Grim, break the weakness policy, and then pickpocket away like an assault vest, and then immediately you have a technically plus one Grimmsnarl in special defense with +2/+2 on its offenses. It gets really disgusting. Ugh. And you could Gigantamax it and put everything to sleep too. It's like, theoretically, it's good on paper, and I don't know why more people don't use it, because it's legitimately a good strat.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, just trick in general. Like, we've spoken about ally switch and how toxic that is, but like, just look at trick. Trick, you can put anything on that. Whimsicott has the same kind of issue with Switcheroo. People eventually found the, what is it, eject button Whimsicott that you were able to make. People are doing that with Grimmsnarl. You can put an eject button. You can put a lagging tail or a full incense. I just played with a team today that used a full incense Grimmsnarl. You swap that onto a Pokemon, and suddenly it's like, oh, okay. Well, my computer making noises at me. And suddenly it's like, oh, no, that Pokemon's not going first.
Guess I'm last.
Guess I'm last. Exactly. Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And we're going to be talking about more moves later on in the episode, I believe, with like moves we think we should buff, we should nerf, we should remove, we should delete, we should add on, things like that. Or like just not moves in specific, but you know.
Tactics, yeah, we
strategies in general.
Exactly. Items. After the break, we want to get into what we believe will or should be changed for Gen 9, either for the better or for the worst. But before that, I do want to pose this question to the chat. Folks, in the Players Cup 3, what is the one Pokemon that you guys can think of that will surprise everyone the most? So based on what we currently know about Series 7, what Pokemon is going to come out and just be like the breakout wonder for PC3. Is there going to be one? Is there not? You let us know in the comments. But folks, we are going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to get back into that answer as well as so much more in just a minute. We'll see you then. Welcome back, everybody, to PokeSports. During the break, we asked everybody, or before the break, we asked everybody to let us know the breakout star of Players Cup 3. What Pokemon is not seen too much right now, but will almost certainly dominate? We've had a few good answers that I just want to talk about. We have seen Cinderace. Cinderace, what do we think about Cinderace now that it's 2021? Cinderace in 2021, is it viable?
Absolutely, 100%. I actually don't know why it fell off to begin with.
Right?
It's just as good as it was before, and it was very toxic before.
I totally forgot about Cinderace.
Yeah, I understand now Spectre's a thing, but whatever.
But here's the thing, who cares?
Exactly. Whatever. I mean, when you get a new meta game, right? Everyone wants to try their shiny new toys, right?
Of course.
They got a nice new horse with nice hair, no ankles. That was their glass cannon. That was their life orb user.
Right.
Cinderace sitting on the bench with a sprained ankle, waiting to play soccer once again. And now it's game time. Players Cup 3.
Oh no.
Cinderace. I agree. It's on my team. So that's why I'm agreeing.
Okay. And I will say, like, it's always had the moveset to take on things like Spectrier. Just beforehand or before this, people used to run high jump kick a lot more. And now that Spectrier is on the field, you're not running high jump kick all that much anymore.
Yeah.
But what you are running is sucker punch. And sucker punch, Glacier don't like no sucker punch.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Tofu says, why play Cinderace? Why play Cinderace when we have better fire starters?
Like?
Little did you know, Cinderace isn't even a fire type.
No. How often is Cinderace actually a fire type? Tell me that.
1/4 of the time.
No, I don't believe that. I think most of the time. What do you think is the move that's used most often?
Airstream bounce.
Yeah.
It's a flying type most of the time. Yeah.
It's swapped over to like steel spike sometimes.
Yeah, it's a flying steel type. Little did you know.
Cinderace is a flying steel type. Exactly.
It's a new Corviknight.
Yeah. I mean, right? I saw somebody post in the chat earlier that you can use a G-Max Corviknight to deal with Grimmsnarl. And my first thought was, oh yeah, G-Max Corviknight's still in the game. Huh.
You could also use Brick Break so you don't have the G-Max too.
What? No.
Screens? Is that what they're talking about? They're talking about screens, right?
I guess so. Yes. Well, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. But why? Why would you?
There's
no.
A brick break. It's going whoops.
Whoops.
I mean, Dusclops can do it. Anyone can do it. you just need hands. You can learn brick break. For close combat, you need arms. For brick break, you need hands.
Mm. So no for Glacier or Tapu Fini. Tapu Fini with brick break would be fun. It just closes up. Just psh, 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 pecks it.
You want to know what Pokemon I think is going to be really relevant?
Tell me.
Garchomp.
You think
there's so? There's a place. There's a place. Yeah. There's a place. There's a time. Dragapult is non-existent right now. Well, not non-existent. It's less popular than it was in the beginning. Mm. So I think there's a place for Garchomp. Especially that's when fair. You stick a Tailwind next to it. It'll be okay.
I guess so. You know what I just used the other day for the first time ever was a Naganadel.
Ooh, did you like it?
No, but
I don't blame you. I mean, I tried it too. It's not that impressive. It's
it's really not. Like, this was a Choice Specs Naganadel, which, you know, is not the typical thing that you'd put on it, but it's really only good for one attack anyway. So, yeah, with that on it, I tried to go for like Draco Meteors, and Draco Meteors, like, they do a lot of damage, but I don't want to Dynamax it, and I feel like you kind of need to Dynamax in the Ganondorf for it to be relevant, because it has like 73 base HP, 73 base defense and special defense. It has super high base special attack and special and speed, though. So, like, it does damage. It's just not better than other Pokemon, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely it's not kind better of at than that, Garchomp.
It's like, Naganadel's weird because you don't really want to go max speed on it, because then the beast boost boosts your speed. You want to go like, you want to make it so that your special attack is maxed out and like 1 point faster than your speed. Which means that, like, yeah, it's fast on paper, but you never reach its full potentials.
Yeah. Well, no, it's base. You can never go speed nature on it is what that means. It's base special attack is 6 points higher than its speed.
Oh, okay,
so you can, you just can't give it that extra 10% because then it'll go over.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Rest in peace.
And the funny question is, the rev heads in the comments says, is Nagan legal? And to that I say, exactly. It's not seen anywhere. And so people are like, wait a second, you can actually use that? No, I mean, think about it, right? Like, you've seen Celesteelas, you've seen not Buzzswoles. Anyway, you've seen Ultra Beasts, so it's like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Blacephalons,
Nihilegos.
Nihilegos, yeah, exactly.
Why do you think of the two bad ones, Mike? Mike thinks Ultra Beast, he thinks of Buzzswole and Blacephalon.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what? I think I've seen Blacephalon more than any other Ultra Beast so far in Series 7.
Blacephalon's the perfect example of, like, new Pokemon syndrome. It's just like, people use Blacephalon Colossal when it was just worse than a Dragapult Surf, but people still used it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh boy, yeah. Stack Attack, yeah, that's another one that people actually use.
That's a scary one too.
But yeah, so I started using it in Ganadol. I don't know why I actually brought that up, but
hey, why not, man?
We did it. It's our podcast. It's our show.
We bring up what we please. Exactly. As long as there's Pokemon.
You know what? Watch this. I'm about to bring up something. Let's talk Gen 9, folks. It's 2021.
What?
Something's gonna happen. November, October, I don't know. Something's gonna happen. We know that there's something new coming. It's Pokemon's 25th anniversary. It would be a huge miss if they didn't. It might be not Gen 9. It might be more DLC on Sword and Shield. They're fully allowed to do that. But with whatever comes next, I wanted to pose the question, what can we change? What can we enhance? What can we remove? What is the worst thing you see about Gen 8? Let's start with that right now. What do you think, Kevin?
Ally Switch is a TR.
Do you think TRs were a step in the right direction?
I think TRs are fine. I think I actually really like them. It's just essentially the old TM mechanic, and like they're so accessible, so easy to get. The only issue I have is how accessible certain moves become to certain Pokemon. Because had Ally Switch not been a TR and not been like a move learner or a TM or anything, only a handful of Pokemon learn it through level up. Problem is now you're opening up pretty much every psychic type in the game and Cinderace that also get Ally Switch for some reason.
Right.
I think the same problem would happen. I think the same problem happened in Gen 7 with Tailwind. Tailwind was a move tutor. So you got things like Togekiss that get Tailwind and Follow Me. Like what? Cartana used to get Tailwind. Like everything got Tailwind. But now you're just like, oh, okay. We have like four Tailwind setters. That's it. So TRs have a lot to do with like move balance for sure. Like move tutors have a lot to do with move balance too. Yeah. So maybe they should fix that. Like they should.
Yeah, like take a little bit of a harder look at what Pokemon are getting what moves, right? Like, I think people saw the problems that Cinderace had, like before like anything ever happened with Cinderace, before it got Libero. Like everyone was like, oh no, that's gonna be bad. It's going to be like too good for the game. Don't do that.
They knew Greninja already. They're like, oh no, not again.
They're like, I remember this. I've read this chapter before. So like a little bit of foresight in there would be great. But also it's weird to say that, 'cause like that's speaking from a point of like nostalgia or like looking back at it. Like we can't tell people to look ahead at the problems that we've had. You know, Cinderace is a bad example because that's like the one case where you can look at it and be like, oh no, we had that in Greninja. That was literally the thing that we had in Greninja. But it would have taken a ton of thought to be like, oh, neutralizing gas is going to be a thing. We've made this new ability, but where would this be a problem? And then nobody thought to be like, put their hand up and be like, hey, Regigigas, do you think Regigigas would be a big threat with that? Nobody put their hand up for that.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, when it came to the beginning, I feel like when Crown Tundra was released, they paid a little bit more attention to what Pokemon get, what moves. Everyone expected, everyone expected the terrain moves and the Tapus. They were like, nah,
yeah.
no. Everyone expected the original type moves on the birds, just because things like Galarian Darmanitan retained its fire moves. Things like that. Most of the Galarian forms retained their previous forms typing when it came to moves. Then the Galarian birds came out and none of them, you didn't have a nice move on Articuno. You didn't have a fire move on Moltres, etc. So I think they're definitely paying a lot more attention than they were when they originally released the game.
Right.
Which is good. But yeah, they released certain Pokemon that shouldn't exist. Like,
yeah,
Urshifu probably shouldn't exist.
I think Togekiss. That one's a draw, though. That one's like a get this game and you'll get this super good Pokemon. And if it wasn't good, everyone would be like, oh, okay. Like, imagine if Calyrex was the only thing that we got and we didn't get like Calyrex Spectral Rider.
Oh, that's true. Well, we talked about this. Calyrex is just bad.
Right, exactly. Awful. Exactly.
But I do like the notion that they brought in a Pokemon that has two abilities. That's pretty cool. Granted, you don't really care about the other ability that the Ghost Rider has or that the Ice Rider has. Unnerve isn't that important. But
it comes in handy sometimes. And when it does come in handy, it comes in handy.
Like, it'll feel nice when the Incin can't eat its Figgy Berry, right? But
or like when said, the Tapu Fini can't eat the citrus, like, or when the Togekiss can't eat the Babiri, or when X Pokemon can't eat the Shuka. Like, it's good when it's good. It's not always that good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a couple of nerfs, I think. Is that what we kind of want on tangent? Some buffs. They need a buff, my boy, Dunsparce. They need a buff, Stunfisk. They need a buff. They need to do something to.
Oh. So, like, in your mind, it's just we need to improve certain Pokemon.
They need a buff, G-Max in general. G-Max is just all around pretty much bad except for Lapras, right?
You think that it's fine to keep Dynamax? Oh, I want to get into that in a bit, though. No, let's stop that right
let's
now.
Let's wait on that.
Let's wait on
let's wait on that. I'll give you a little bit of a taste. I do think Dynamax is the most balanced out of the three.
Interesting.
But continue. What were you
interesting
saying? Yeah,
we were talking about Pokemon debuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just Pokemon that they put a lot of attention to. Things like Flygon. Like, come on, dude. Didn't that thing have its own... Like, Absol had its own movie. What does Absol do? You gave it a Mega. The Mega was worse. It somehow got worse.
Why'd you make that? What'd you do?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like when they... This is like my biggest problem with Megas. Like, originally, Mega seemed like an idea to make worse Pokemon better. Like, Pokemon you never see before. Like, Lopunny, like, Mawile, like, Sableye. To make them better.
Yeah.
And then they introduce, like, oh, Mega Metagross. We got Mega Salamence. Hey, let's give Titar a Mega. Like, Pokemon that were already good and didn't need attention received even more attention.
We're giving Pokemon that kids everywhere are calling pseudo-legendaries or pseudo-pseudo-legendaries or whatever. These are the Pokemon. They're just like a step away from being super good and can still also contend. We're going to give them Megas.
Marketing opportunity.
Yeah.
Bang,
and then
bang.
They're like, oh, what about the legendaries? We can give most of the legendaries Mega Forms too. Mega Mewtwo, Mega Rayquaza, Mega Primal Groudon. And lo and behold, they were good Pokemon.
Game Freak's office meeting was, hey guys, you remember Gen 5 when weather was really good?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Never want to do that again. Yeah, let's make weather never go away.
Let's make it impossible to change. It's just permanent sun now? Yeah? Oh, okay.
You can only change it if you have this Pokemon called Mega Rayquaza. Yeah, you can hold an item and a Mega Stone. Yikes.
And then they had the Gen 8 meeting and they're like, you remember when we made one Pokemon do two things? Let's do that again with Calyrex. Great. Sold. Okay, so let's talk about that then. So Dynamax, are of the camp that would like to keep Dynamax into the next generation.
I don't know about that. Probably, I'll keep it for Gen 4 remakes. I don't mind.
Okay.
We'll keep
okay.
it in there. Probably not the next generation. They better come up with something spicy. I don't even know what they would do at this point. Like, what else can we do? You had us evolve our unevolved Pokemon already. You had us make our Pokemon big. You had us perform dance moves in front of Mons. Like, what's next?
So that's the thing. Let's not think about it like what the theme will be. That's their job. Their job is to make a creative. Our job is to think about the the mechanics behind it. So with megas, they change just the stats. In some cases, they change the typing. Mm-hmm. With Z moves, they change just a move, one out of, you know, the possible four, except you could make any one of those four the super powerful move if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Then with Dynamax, they doubled the HP, made everything Hyper Beam, and also gave you a full protect for everything. That one's clearly OP. That one's pretty nasty. But my question is, what is left to change? What do you have left that you can mess with?
I gotta agree with Colton here in the chat. Make our Pokemon really small, like negative Dynamin.
Dynamin.
Yeah, make them negative 6 priority when you Dynamax them for. Negative 6 evade. Is it evasion or plus 6 evasion?
That's terrible.
When you Minimax them,
ooh, I hate that.
Give them a free plus 6.
Can't stand that. Let's make everything. Turns. Everything is high jump kick now. You remember when everything was Hyper Beam? Now everything is high jump kick.
Every Pokemon gets to use Metronome at least once every battle. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, my gimmick that I will give this to you, Game Freak, because obviously Game Freak listens to our podcast. I will give this one to you. Consider it could be in the form of, like, it's gotta be a bracelet, obviously, because it's always gotta be a bracelet, right?
Anklet
or what? Yeah, anklet, nose ring. It's the item nose ring. You connect it to your nose, and you can telepathically make a second item float around your Pokemon. So you've got now a life orb and a choice band or something. You've got a focus sash and literally anything. You've got, like, I don't know, an eject button and a red card. So, like, not only are you swapping out, but so is your opponent.
It's called the Referee Whimsicott set.
That's so good. Referee Whimsicott. So, just letting you use a second item. That's the only thing that I don't think they've messed with yet, is just the way that you can change up your items.
I actually got an idea that's kind of stealing your idea, but it's fine. If I were going to add a mechanic to the game, I would say there are so many Pokemon that I encounter with, five move syndrome, have an ability or have an item that lets you add another move, a fifth move to your mon.
Okay. Now they would have to probably add a second, like, little gimmick onto that, 'cause you can't build a whole series. You can't make a Pokemon anime about a Pokemon that knows five things to do.
Yes, you can. Or
we're gonna clip this, we're gonna play this when that exact series comes out. My Pikachu knows Volt Tackle and Thunderbolt and Thunder and Quick Attack and Electro Ball. Whoa.
Yeah. It's a very bad Pikachu set.
It's a terrible Pikachu set. And yet, I'm pretty sure that's Ash's Pikachu. So.
You want to talk weakness policy real quick? Because I think that needs to be nerfed.
I don't want to talk weakness policy at all, because I'm pretty sure you're right.
Like, I can't decide if Dynamax makes weakness policy broken, or if weakness policy has always been broken, people are just realizing it now. I'm pretty sure Dynamax makes it broken, though, now that I'm thinking about it. Because it's like, the problem with Dynamax is that you double the thing with weakness policy before. So you only really see that Pokemon on, like, Aegislash, right? It would be like Aegislash and a few other Pokemon here and there. It wasn't really a staple on a team in Gen 7 or in Gen 6. But, like, now, you have double your health. You're always going to live that weak move, right? The problem with before is that you get hit with a super effective move and you just go down. You would never make use of your weakness policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get 3 turns to live. So you can really make use of your weakness policy. And now it allows you to theoretically get plus 3 in one turn.
Yeah.
If you're Glacier, you can get plus 4 in one turn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I mean, the other thing to consider too is that like most Pokemon aren't going for their stab move. A lot of them are going for max Airstream. When they Dynamax and they get their weakness policy popped, they go for that Airstream. Now they're plus 2 and have the extra speed. So next turn, you just keep on trucking with whatever you want to do, just barreling down the opponent, the opposing side, just over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we can't say that it hasn't been used in that much in Gen 7 because like it, back in the days where you were taking requests to make teams, most of the things that made the bad Pokemon good were when you slapped a weakness policy on it and Dynamaxed it. And that was just how the team would work, is like you have a second Pokemon beside it that would trigger the weakness policy. And then you just go to town with the weak Pokemon that now had double its HP, double its attack, and just, oh, well, it's good now. I guess I can now use a Poliwrath when I trigger a weakness policy and then use a Max Geyser.
I have done that before.
I'm going to try every single episode to sneak in the episode's Pokemon. I've just made that decision.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Something I just came up with while you were speaking is another way they can change the mechanic of the game in terms of like battling mechanics is like, we didn't talk about this today, but dynamic speed was added and that changed the game like severely.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the times you don't realize it because like Gen 7 battles, like, Tailwind wouldn't happen until the next turn, technically. It doesn't matter if it was priority or not.
Right.
Your speed was locked in. Even like, remember with Mega Evolutions, there were some Megas that their Mega speed wouldn't go until the turn after. So it was beneficial to protect the first turn of your Mega.
Yeah.
To then receive the speed the next turn. I remember that in Gen 6. That was interesting. What if they... Because it looks like competitions and competitors are leaning towards open team sheets. What if the game just allowed you to frisk each other's Pokemon right at the start? Like when a Pokemon switches in, you know their item. They don't keep it secret anymore. When a Pokemon
switches in, you just know their item. That's interesting.
Like, I don't know, there's like a little icon above their head of what that item
is. Yeah, or like a little graphical thing. Like you just see them literally like with a band on their arm. And it's like, oh, hey. They're wearing a choice band.
Yeah, you don't have protect. You don't have this. Yeah, I mean, open team sheets. Like it increases the competitive viability of the game. Yeah. Is what a lot of competitive players are saying for obvious reasons. Because it just brings it down to nothing but how good can you click this button. It's less RNG.
I don't hate that because you know what? You can also, from like a gameplay perspective, you can also teach the player a little bit more about what certain Pokemon should be bringing or what you know the items do. Like a Pokemon comes in and it gives a little line of text being like Grimmsnarl is wearing a choice band, bad choice. Now you're like, oh okay, I wonder what that means. Boom, spirit break. Oh, I'm dead. I guess it was because of the choice band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you teach your younger or newer competitors how to play in competitive.
It would be nice to know when that Whimsicott has an eject button, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be really great to know. And then you're like, maybe I shouldn't Dynamax yet.
right. And then I guess one of the last things that we can bring up. Yeah, I know you've got another one too. Go ahead.
Real quick.
Okay.
They need to have a Pokemon ability that lets you change the timer in the game. Continue, Mike. Just a Pokemon that lets you adjust the timer.
It's a clock-based Pokemon.
It's Time Wizard.
Time Wizard adds 5 minutes to your game.
Ooh, that's another good one. Make a ladder that's best of three. Ooh, that'd be really nice.
I would love a best of three ladder. Yeah. Now we're getting into like the technical specs. I would love to change up the team preview, change up the versus screen. I think a lot of a whole experience. The online experience is really it's lacking right now. We're missing a few things.
Yeah.
And that's like
where it's getting better.
That's where, I mean, on the one hand, like, that's where we have opportunities, because we can come in and be like, okay, no, we are going to be the ones who facilitate these tournaments. But like, Pokemon fully has the chance to one up us and be like, hey, no, we're going to take this over. We're just going to offer it to everybody. We're going to put these tournaments on every single weekend, and whoever wants to join can join. And then suddenly you've got, like, Blizzard did it. Warcraft did it all the time. You'd be able to go on and see that there was tournaments going on.
Can't wait for the day that Game Freak calls PokeSports podcast and like, yeah, this league is ours now.
Yeah, just take exactly. It. Exactly.
It's ours.
Happily. Masuda, take it. Just ask me first. Say, if I get a please, if I get a tweet from Masuda that says, please, can I have your tournament? Take it.
All yours.
I will screen cap that tweet. I will frame it. And I will stare at it in my old age and be like, I contributed.
I did Pokemon good.
I did. That's that. Let's bring it back real quick before we end things off. I wanna just say one more time, hey folks, watch out for Grimmsnarl in the Players Cup. Like, legit.
Yeah.
I'm saying this now, and I'm saying this loud, and I'm saying this proud. Watch out for Grimmsnarl, because lots of people gonna be using a Grimmsnarl this time around.
I agree.
Yeah.
Grimmsnarl is scary. Especially since most of them carry Spirit Break, which can Oko or Urshifu. Easily.
Yeah.
A Moonblast from Clefairy can Oko or Urshifu, by the way. In case you're really wondering what to put on your Clefairy.
Are you serious, Kevin?
Oh yeah, I run Moonblast on my Clefairy for that very reason. I used to be like a very strict no attacking moves on Clefairy until I learned that it can Oko with zero investment.
Wow.
Urshi.
You almost kind of have to really... know too, though, because there's a lot more Tauntmons out there. Like, if you see a Tornadus, like, be aware.
Dude, I'm running Taunt Instant, I know.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
You know why there's more taunt is because there's a lack of redirection in terms of follow me and rage powder. So before, taunt wasn't a reliable way to stop Trick Room. Now it's just P2 and Dusclops by themselves or Cresselia by themselves. Taunt is a lot more useful.
I see. I see. That's going to be interesting to play around, because there are going to be like three kinds of people in the Players Cup, just like there has been in Players Cup 1 and 2. You've got the people who are playing the super meta teams, which, as we can see right now, are very little redirection, has a Trick Room has a Trick Room package, but is mostly offensive. You've got the second one, which is the counter meta, which everybody always expects, which is like the stuff that will stop your Trick Room. That's Kevin. That's how I like to play it. Like, you look at what's normal and you try to break that. So things that'll stop Trick Room, or things that will work inside of Trick Room, or things that are defensive enough and just can, you know, soak up and take out the big meta. And then you've got the people who are like, I'm just going to be complete wild cards here. And these are the people who will like typically not perform as well, but occasionally will rise to the very top, like Colossal. They're just, you know, people who are trying anything that they personally seem good and don't really look at too hard at the meta.
Here's my belly drums feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think it's always going to be a healthy mix of the top two, the first two, and then a little splash of the wild cards. Let's be real. The reason that Wolf was able to make it so high with the Colossal is because he's a really good player. Anybody can make it really high with any kind of wild card team if you're a really strong player. But for those of us who are, you know, just trying to grind the ladder and don't do this professionally, you know, you're either going the first or the second. Mm-hmm. You're either being meta or trying to counter the meta. Go ahead.
You know what Wolf did that was like revolutionary? Is he brought the Colossal and the Dragapult. The Dragapult. Yep. Which is something that everyone knows what it does. They know how to prepare for it, and they know how to beat it. He did this revolutionary thing called bring it in the back.
Yes, exactly.
And then everyone was confused. All their brains shut off. They're like, what? I did not practice for this.
Exactly.
You can do that? You can bring it in the back? What? So, yeah.
Exactly. Like, everybody... Yeah, people fall into these habits, and if you're a good player, you don't fall into habits. You consider what you can actually do with your team. You don't, just because you have a lead doesn't mean that you always bring that lead in the front. Just because you have a combo doesn't mean that you're always executing the combo 100% of the time. Sometimes you need to lead up to that with a completely different lead that'll set you up for success at the end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We got a question. Does Friend Guard reduce the damage from Wicked Blow? Yeah, it does.
Yes, I do believe.
That's what's really cool about Clefairy is it just soaks damage for your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It guards your friend.
Another- so, yeah, I mean, like, good luck to everybody on the Players Cup because we won't be able to talk to you apart
good
from
luck
our
to
streams.
Me.
Good luck to you. Good luck to me. On the Players Cup this coming weekend. Make sure that you're registered. Make sure that you have your team ready because, oh boy, it's going to be a big one. This one's going to be a little spicy. This is one that, like, we have had a ton of time to practice. Not just you, not just me, but, like, everybody. We've had, what, 3 months of Series 7?
Yep.
And now it's, like, probably at the end of it. So,
do you think there's going to be more or less people playing this one than the second one? Because, like, the second one had less people than the first. Do you think this follows a similar trend?
Yeah, I think the third one is going to have more than the second, but less than the first.
Okay.
Because I think
the barrier to entry should be more difficult for this one, then,
yeah,
theoretically.
I think a lot of people got burnt out Series 6?
Oh, yeah, people quit Series 6.
People quit much. That one, yeah. We had, like, a whole chunk of the pie who was like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And so they skipped out entirely. So
that's a good point. If you guys are looking for a good stopping point, I know I get this question asked every single stream, every single time. When should I stop playing? If you hit 1700, stop.
Interesting.
You're good.
You're probably fine, good. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're bored, you want to keep going, play one more game. If you lose, stop. Don't tilt yourself out of control like some people do.
That's true. You're allowed to play 15 games a day. Don't always, right? Because if game 13, 14, 15 are all losses because you're at the end of, you know, your 15 run and you're tired, then stop. Mm-hmm. And stop. You're not doing yourselves any favors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm a big sucker for that. Like, if I had some major problems with that in Players Cup 1, I believe. Players Cup 2, I tried to be a little bit better about it. But I was at my, like, 10th game, and I was exhausted on the first day. I was, like, it was, like, midnight, and I was like, you know what, I want to get done all my 15 games. And then, like, three of those were losses, and I barely got anywhere. I just ended up with, like, net minus 15 extra points. Like,
mm-hmm.
Didn't need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, if you're below, then if you still got games left and you're not yet at that threshold, I would play out the games. At least I would, but I know I don't always make the great decision.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, you're your own person. Mm-hmm. You can, like, we can give you all the advice in the world, but, like, that might not actually work for you. Tugboat Zero in the comments right now says no more than 3 games in a row. That would work for them. But for me personally, I would go about 5 or 6. That's my threshold.
Here's a good middleman. It's if you lose 3 in a row, finish off your 15, but go for a walk, drink some water, do something else for like half an hour, and then get back to Pokemon.
Realize that you are a person. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably just aren't in the right headspace. If you're going for a Sucker Punch in your own psychic terrain that you have, if you have Fake Out on your Indeedee,
yeah,
then you need some water. Grab a Snickers.
There's an idea too.
Snicker sponsorship?
No, I had considered just now, like, what if And I'm sure there are people who do this. There are obviously people who do this. People do this at tournaments. You write down for yourself.
I'm not a potato anymore.
No, you're not a potato. What? Everything worked out. Internet is fun. You write down everything that you need to know about your team, everything that you need to know about what you need to watch out for. Because oftentimes, like in the heat of the moment, you just kind of forget. Right. So like if you have a sucker punch, you have that written down, you're like little arrow, no, it not in psychic terrain or something like that. You've got prankster, the ability, you're right, like a little arrow beside that. Don't use it on dark Pokemon. You know, for some of you who need it, you've got ground moves, write a little arrow. Don't use it on flying types. Some people still need that. And that's fair. Fine. Cool. Whatever
never
helps you
use,
win.
Guys, this is kind of like, I don't know if I consider this like a late game.
Clear body. Watch out for clear body. Write that down.
You should always check to see what your Pokemon, what your opponent has. If you're ever using a move that has an immunity. If you're using poison, check for steel types. If you're using ground, check for flying types. If you're using electric, check for ground types. If you're using a dragon move, check for fairy types. Yeah. Always check, because switching in is so easy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh. And don't be afraid to switch in. Don't be afraid to use that button. The Pokemon button is very strong sometimes.
Exactly. All right. So
That's a podcast.
We're done the podcast. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We're super hyped for Players Cup 3. We're more and more excited by the day. And I'm sure you're also going to see that in our streams that we're doing this week. Tomorrow, you're going to be able to see me. Tuesday, me. Wednesday, me. Thursday is going to be Kevin playing the Players Cup itself. Friday is going to be Kevin playing the Players Cup itself. Saturday, it's going to be Kevin playing the Players Cup itself. And then Sunday, that's going to be PokeSports Podcast, which we do every single Sunday at 9 p.m. here on YouTube.com/PokeSports. Kevin, where can people find you?
X, Raise, Ovation, Twitter, Instagram, and PokeSports.org.
And then you can find me at Still Just Mike, wherever you find your people, preferably Twitter or Instagram. You can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcasts at PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. You can find us on Twitter at PokeSports Pod, Instagram, PokeSports Podcast, Patreon at PokeSports.org. Jeez, come on. Patreon at Patreon.com/PokeSports Podcast, where so many amazing people have already found us, such as Ahmed, Dante, Elijah, Zach, Braden, Colton, Shelton, Sheldon with a D, not a T like Colton, the person I said before that, Trevor, Alex, Brian, Carlo, Dreamweaver, Lewis, Roixon, Scott, Alex, Dustin, Joseph, King Boo, Martine, Michael, not me, Rowan, Travis, Jack S, Jack B, Jack C, Jonathan, Juancito, Chris, Greg, LA Caveman, Pierre, Pink Hat Boy, Ryan Sowen, and of course, Mod Tofu. Last thing, we still do have our Ace Trainer clearance merch up at pokesports.org/merch. You can go and check that out. We're coming up to the mid of January, and right now we are about halfway toward our goal of actually seeing Ace Trainer clearance on a PokeSports Plus, as much as he doesn't want to be there. So we appreciate you guys for that. But yeah, let's keep that going. We might actually see that. Anyway, Kevin, you got anything you want to leave the people with?
Nope. Good night.
Good night. Bye, everybody.